for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Passover Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, April the 2nd, 2010. Doc Agin is the speaker of the service, teaching on Few Men Left.
Everybody happy to say amen. Whew. Well, I'm having a good time. I hope you are. We're going to change the entire mode tonight, and I would like to prove a lot of things Sister said this morning, but I don't have time. We started fighting demons in May of 1938, so we're not a novice, and we don't need to practice, but God is God, and He always will be God. Last time we were here, or maybe I think it was the last time we had been scheduled to minister, I fell from the balcony upstairs through the main floor into the basement and broke me all to pieces. So Brother Glenn called me and would know when we was going to be arriving. I said, Brother, I just can't come. I can't move my right arm, and my right leg is gone, and my hips was broken. So he insisted that I come. I said, I have an elder. If he will drive us, we'll come. He and his wife, his honey and I. He had one of them little old Chevrolets, two doors, and the seat was about this wide. I never suffered so much in my life from Golden, Mississippi to Lake Hamilton, Arkansas, as I did that day. I didn't take no aspirins or no nothing, not that it would have sent me to hell. But we got here, and I ministered that night. And while I was ministering, God healed me. My arm snapped and popped and went back in place, and I began to move it, and we had a great meeting that year. I'm a life preacher. I believe that some folks will be alive and remain when Jesus comes. I just believe that. I'm also a kingdom preacher. Tonight I'm going to preach on the situation that our world and our economy is in. How many knows we're in trouble? When I talked to Brother Glenn, I had a scripture from Zephaniah chapter 1, and we'll deal with it a little bit. But I didn't know I was going to get stuck with two sermons. So I'm going to deal with this tonight. Maybe Sunday morning I'll pour in a little wine and oil. Will that be all right? We thank you for our prayers. We traveled a tent for 20 years. We went to where we are in Golden in 72 and unloaded honey and everything we had and three girls. We had $2 in our pocket when we got through. We have built a camp, beautiful facilities, God has. We don't owe a dime to nobody. We have 8 acres. How many acres do y'all have here? Yeah, I know you've got a lot more. I drove around and looked at it today. This is the most beautiful place in the country. I thank God for Brother Glenn and Sister. We know these people for years and years. We never did, quote-unquote, intend to have a church per se. Our program was to build a camp for the saints so we could learn to overcome, get delivered, get free, and be able to stand in these last days. Hallelujah. Now that everybody is healed and everybody's been set free, everybody healed. 1 Peter 2:24, by His stripes we're healed. Let's say, I'm healed. I'm healed.
I'm healed.
Now I can't I can't build an army with a bunch of sick folks. I've got to get you healed before I start tonight. Joel said in 2:11, said, the day of the Lord is a great and terrible day. Now, it all depends on which side of the day you're on. Now, we can use great, great place, great people, great food, great God. And I'm going to take it a little out of its text tonight. And it's a great day to me. I have never been so happy. Me, Miss Honey and I are having our Job's experience, but we're winners. Keep us in prayer. Because there's nobody ever preached God any bigger than I have, and this thing has been a bump in the road. Don't think it's not. But we're going to reline the front end of the truck and just keep rolling. We're not going to be defeated. We don't owe nobody no money. Everything we have is paid for, bulldozers, backhoes, churches, building. We have a beautiful 12-unit motel on the property. And I don't know where you're at, basically. But in the day of darkness, listen closely. And I may go to Isaiah 61 Sunday morning, I don't know. But your light cannot shine except you're in darkness. Thank God for the adversities. Thank God for the tests and the trials. But it's also a terrible day. And we're living in one of the most crucial times that we could possibly live in. I was watching television and watching news a few weeks ago, and when the tsunami, they were so worried about it in the Hawaiian Islands from the thing that happened in Chile. One of the commentators said that we have 5 days of food on the islands. Now, can you imagine the thousands, probably millions of people living on Hawaii with 5 days of food in their grocery stores? They was panicking. He said they have stripped the walls, stripped everything out of the stores. Now, what if the big tsunami had really hit? They couldn't have got any food for, say, 30 days. What do you think would have happened? We're planning for tribulation. We don't believe in the rapture of the church, and we don't believe in dying or flying either one. You're awful quiet. One of the biggest lies that's ever been preached in the church was the rapture of the church, and I just might as well let you know how I feel about it. I believe you said 70-80% of the church was in darkness or liars or something. More than that, 60%. Now, I don't know what all's going to happen to all of these preachers. They'll probably get excommunicated and tarred and feathered. I don't really know. So pray for them. But they're blind leaders and leading the people into bondage and blindness. They're all still falling in the ditch. So let's open our ears tonight. The disciples pulled Jesus aside in Matthew 11 and said, "Why do you speak in parables?" Jesus said, "It's not for them to know. It's been given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom." My question was, when was the gift given to these fellows to know the mysteries of the kingdom? I must believe it was before the foundation of the world, because they weren't ordinary people. Tell somebody, we're not ordinary people. Excuse me. And while the economy is collapsing, we owe $17 trillion directly and indirectly. It's literally impossible to pay the interest on that money that we owe. So, while they are collapsing and falling, behind the scene, God is setting up a kingdom. God took my rapture in 1957 in a little town in Oklahoma. I was ministering. So, If there wasn't going to be a rapture, I had to find out what was going to take place. So I got in the book, and I started at Genesis 1 and went through the book. And I found a lot of things that I had never been taught. Basically, that we was made and created in the image and likeness of God. We were supposed to multiply and replenish the earth, subdue and have dominion. Nobody ever preached that to me, so consequently, I didn't go for it. But when I got to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2 and verses 33, 34, and 35 said there's a stone hewed out without hands. Everybody say that's Christ. It's a spiritual stone. And that spiritual stone began to grow. What did it become? A great mountain. After it become a great mountain, in verse 36, it fill the whole earth. So what God is doing in Lake Hamilton or in Golden, Mississippi, or wherever the kingdom is being preached, is eventually going to fill the whole earth. When you get to verse 44 in Daniel 2, it says, in the days of those kings, simultaneously, when the kings of the world are predominant, and we're headed for a quote-unquote socialist system or communist system, and our freedom is about to go down the tube. And I don't want to get on the negative side because I'm a very positive man. I'm an optimist. I never see the glass half empty. It's always full. Amen? So Daniel 2:44 says, in the days of the kings that this world is experiencing, we're involved in now, the God of heaven is setting up a kingdom. Go home and read it. And the kingdom that God sets up in Daniel 2:44 will never be left to another people. It's a people kingdom. It's not an angel kingdom. Angels are not going to judge this world. Angels are not going to rule this world. It's the overcomers that's going to be kings and priests. He has made us kings and priests. Revelations 1 and 6 and 5 and 10. 5 and 10, He has made us kings and priests, and we shall do what? Reign on the earth. The kings and priests that God is bringing forth in the 21st century is a full product of the vision in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And the kingdom that God sets up in Daniel 2:44 breaks to pieces and consumes and destroys all of these other kingdoms. Ask me how we're going to do it. I don't really know. Jeremiah 51 said we're His battle axe, so we may have to go to war. Somebody say amen. All right. Thank God for you. I'm glad you're here. And I don't know how much time I got. All I want, it's 8. I'll quit at 10. Verse 2 of Zephaniah 1, I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, saith the Lord. Do you believe God? I will consume man and beast. I will consume the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea, and the stumbling blocks among the wicked. I will cut off man from the face of the land, saith the Lord. Now, I've got a bunch of notes, and I'll probably never look at them. Verse 6, but those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor require of Him. See, there's some folks never pray. Some folks, I've run into this for years. Oh, if I just could know the Lord, know what He's saying. Honey, you can know the Lord because He is in a volume of a book. If you want to know God, memorize the book. Then you'll know God. Verse 7, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited His guests to it. Now, I'd rather preach Matthew 24, but I won't take time. But there's three words in Matthew 24 dealing with end. The disciples said, will the end be, or the end and end? And there are two different Greek words. One of them is a confirmation of time, and one of them is the actual end. Jesus prophesied all of these things in Matthew 24. It shall be a day of sacrifice. I will punish the princes and the kings of the earth, and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. And now we could elaborate on this and talk about the foreign things in the world and the natures and dresses and clothes, etc., etc. And there shall be on that day, saith the Lord, a sound of a mournful cry from the fish gate, and a wailing from the second quarter, and a loud crushing from the hills. Well, you inhabitants of Mashtesh, for all the merchants of the people are cut down. All those who handle money are cut off. Now, this is a Babylonian system. In 1955, we brought our tent down from up north in California and Oregon, and we were studying the book of Revelations. And God showed me in Christmas time of 1955 that New York City was Revelations 18. And I really believe that the city is going to be destroyed. And I'm not a pessimist, remember. But anyhow, the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. Sinners are going to be cleaned off of the face of the earth. Malachi 4 said that God's going to cleanse the earth and take the sinner out of it and going to burn him up. And we're going to do what? Walk on his ashes. Now, you can't walk on the ashes of a sinner if you're in heaven. Didn't go over too good. Go over to Psalms 115, you know, just hypothetically, in verse 13 or 14, said the heaven and the heavens belong to the Lord. Amen? Verse 15 or 16 said, but the earth he's given to you and me. I think some of y'all still want to die and go to heaven. If you do, you're going to have to come back. I'll guarantee you that because the saints inherit the earth. Matthew 5 and 5 said the meek inherit the earth. So if you're still longing to go to heaven, you're going to have to come back. Please get a two-way ticket. Buy a round-trip ticket. We was on a highway day before yesterday, and I got a call from up in North Carolina, and a minister was questioning me on 2 Corinthians 5. And he couldn't get it all through because he said that we have a house built in the heavens. I said, yeah, but Paul didn't say we had to die and get it, because it starts out, if we lose this earthly house. See, Paul said we have a house in the heavens, and all the things that God's prepared for us, and it's already been prepared. But anyhow, Paul goes on now to say in 2 Corinthians 5 that we're not groaning to be unclothed. How many wants to die? We're not really groaning to be unclothed, are we? What are we groaning for? To be clothed upon with our house from above. Don't say you've got to go get it. It's coming down to us. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. The what? He never did pray that we go anywhere. He prayed that the kingdom would come and manifest itself in us. Okay? Now, okay, verse 14 of Zephaniah 1. The great day of the Lord is near. I believe it's closer than it's ever been in history. There's 39 different positive references to the day of the Lord, and it's not 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. The day of the Lord, Joel said, it's a great and terrible day. Who will be able to abide it, or abide the coming of the Lord? Revelation 19, he said, the bride makes herself ready. And I believe that's what we've been doing here this week. Are you ready to meet the Master? Are you ready to get married? Are you ready to really have a husband? See, there are a few things required to be a bride. First of all, you got to clean yourself up. Ain't no man going to marry no dirty bride. You know, you're not going to be out slopping hogs and go up and get married. You're going to huff and puff and clean and scrub and poo-poo and all that hairdresser stuff you were talking about this morning. Girls really make themselves ready to get married. What are we waiting on? How many believes in the marriage supper of the Lamb? Amen. Let's get ready. Because he ain't going to marry no dirty church. I'm just on rabbit trails, I guess. But anyway, see, the day of the Lord in Genesis started at the evening. We started at 6 o'clock in the morning. They started at 6 o'clock in the evening. So in the evening time, when it's dark, you know, we in Oklahoma, we had little old what lightning bugs come out. See, God is looking for somebody that'll get well, physically, spiritually, mentally, domestically, and financially. That all right? How many like to be well? That's His plan. You don't want your kids to die. How many's ever had, you mothers had a baby said, well, honey, they told me the day I was born, I was already dying. Y'all ever hear that kind of garbage? You don't have a child and say, okay, buddy, I just can't wait till you die tomorrow, next day or day after tomorrow. How many of you girls really have pleasure in your babies dying? What makes us be so dumb we think God really has a joyful time when one of us dies? The biggest lies that's ever preached is at funerals. Oh, don't he look good? God, I never seen a good-looking dead person. Did you? But you go to the next funeral, and that lying preacher will get up and tell you, man, don't he look good. I'm telling you the truth. The truth will make you free if you listen to it. Then the next lie they tell you, well, he's so much better off than we are. He can't sing no more. He can't preach no more. He can't build no more houses. He can get nobody saved. He can't do nothing. He's not better off than we are. Well, I'll tell you what, you ask him if he's better off than we are. I'll guarantee you he'll say, no, I'd rather still be alive. I had a friend in Spiro. He used to be in Spiro, Oklahoma. He's pastoring over in Rose Hill, Oklahoma. Honey and I come out of Mexico in 1979. We went by, and he was dying with cancer. Honey stayed up all night and talked to his wife. John started with John 10 and 10. The thief comes. Anybody know John 10 and 10? And Jesus come that you might have... Okay, now they told me that the thief come to take you to hell, and Jesus come to take you to heaven. Heaven and hell ain't got nothing to do with either one of those in that verse of Scripture. The thief kills, steals, and destroys your victory, your joy, your peace, your home, your money, everything that you ever loved or wanted. Come on now. See, Jesus said you're the light of the world. Said you're a city set on a hill. See, you're really what Abraham was looking for. How many believes that? Now, they may be a literal 1,500-mile city come down and headquarters of the universe. And I don't care if God wants to do it. I'd like to live in it. But that's not what Jesus said. He said, we're the city of God, the New Jerusalem. Well, so anyway, they was preaching Pounds' funeral. And they was bawling and squalling out in the congregation, and his wife and his kids and friends that we all knew. And these preachers got up there and said, oh, and Brother Pounds looks so good. Said, you know, said, he's so much better off than we are, and he's now with the Lord. Well, I got news for that dude. I'm with the Lord tonight. I mean, he's got Jesus. You don't have to die to get the Lord. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. You don't have to die to get to God. So it come my turn to do my part in the funeral. Guess what happened? I said, y'all really believe Brother Buddy is better off than we are? Yeah, yeah. I said, shut the cotton picking casket and shut up and let's start praising God, shouting, dancing, talking in tongues and prophesying. If he's better off than we are, quit bawling and squalling about it. Shut the door and let him go. I'm a realist along with an optimist. I believe you hit a keynote this morning with dealing with these dead people. You said a lot of good stuff. Come out from amongst them. Revelations 18 and 4 says, "Come out from amongst her, my people. Be not partakers of her sin, that you might not receive of her plague." And if you don't believe America's under a bunch of stupid plagues, you got your head way down in the sand. The good old days are gone. We'll never be what we used to be. But it's got to fall. See, a lot of folks don't understand God, but the kingdoms of this world are become. The seventh angel sounds in Revelations 11 and 15 and makes a declaration. The kingdoms, the governments, the powers, the authority, everything of the world has now become the kingdoms of our God. And His Greek word is Christos, or anointing, or anointed ones. My God, quit planning to get you a gravesite and a burial policy and die and go to heaven. Start planning on how you're going to rule and reign with Christ. Boy, you don't want me to preach Sunday morning. I done got this figured out. I may go home with you tomorrow, brother. How come y'all don't like the truth? Do you really believe that when somebody dies, they're better off than you are? How many want to go to heaven? Let me see your hand now. I'll be honest with me. All right. God, kill every one of them right now. Well, what was a country western lady? She wrote a song, "Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven." Nobody what? I know they don't. But they'll glorify it and talk about it and brag about it. What's her name? Loretta Young? Is that her name? How many ever heard that song? "Everybody wants to go to heaven, nobody wants to die." God didn't create you. You didn't come out of your mother's womb with God's desire in your heart and in your spirit to die. Every animal you know, including you and I, wants to preserve our life. I will preach in a minute. Verse 14, "The great day of the Lord is near. It's near and hasten quickly, and the noise of the day of the Lord is bitter, and the mighty men shall cry out." The day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation, a day of desolation, a day of darkness, and a day of gloom. A day of clouds and thick darkness. The day of the trumpet and the alarm against the fortified cities and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk as blind men. Now, there's so much I'd like to say, but I'm just going to jump over to let's go to Ezekiel first. Ezekiel 14:14, you can remember this real easy. These three men were in it. They could not save sons or daughters. They could only save themselves. You got that? By their own righteousness. And I think that's what's been preached this whole meeting. Get yourself righteous. Let's go back to the virgins. Now, you women don't get offended at me. Matthew 25, 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, all of them. Didn't a cotton-picking one of them know what's going on? That's that church munch you were talking about this morning. They don't know what's going on. You try to preach them a message like this and they'll shoot you. I'm talking by experience now. All of them asleep. And really and sincerely, virgins ain't worth too much as long as they're virgins. That wasn't too good. You got to be a virgin to get married to him. But how many knows it was a shame for a Hebrew lady not to have children? It's just as much a shame on us today not to reproduce God in the flesh and people that don't know God. most everybody's satisfied to being a virgin. And they don't want to give birth. Nowadays, it's, you know, they don't want to even get married. They just live together. So, somebody, this, and I think we're some of the people right here, that had already committed their life to God and married God and let God become our husband, and we were with Him. And when the bridegroom come, somebody was with Him. They wasn't the virgins now. Wasn't the church. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Who was that? That was that group of people out of Revelations 12 and 5 that she travailed to bring forth a child, a male child. The only place in the Bible the word's used. The woman travailed to bring forth a male child. And when he was born, he was caught up to God. He didn't go to heaven. He just got caught up like Philip did, like Paul did, like some of us do. And that male child that the woman brought forth was to rule and shepherd all the nations and feed the mother. She goes into the wilderness for 3.5 years. And I believe that's the last half of the week, tribulation. Maybe y'all don't believe in tribulation, but honey, I'm telling you, if you're not having tribulation in this 21st century, you're awful lucky. Most everybody's going through HELL. How many unemployment do we have? The unemployment list of 17%, I heard somewhere the other day. Them people's in trouble, brother. How many knows that the nations is in trouble? The government's took over the banks. Get off of that politics, Doc. Now the woman goes into a wilderness to a place that God had prepared for her. Brother Glenn and I went over this many, many years ago, and that's part of his dream and vision. It's all of ours in one sense. We are preparing to stand and survive in the day of the Lord. Do you understand where I'm coming from? See, if you can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast, what are you going to do? If we can't trust God for a headache now, how in God are we going to trust God to feed us and take care of us for 3.5 years? It's something we need to wake up and think about. Now, we got soybeans and corn and wheat and rice. I got enough of food to last more than any 3.5 years. Somebody said, well, get off of that, Doc. Are you ready for complete government control? Think about it. Are you ready for $5 and $6 a gas, gallon of gas? Okay. In verse 15 of Ezekiel 14, if I cause the wild beast to pass through the land, and they empty it and make it so desolate that no man may pass through it, because of the beast. Now, this is that little beast or the little horn or the man of sin. You call him anything you want to call it. And it really fulfills Ezekiel chapter 38. And I don't take time to deal with all this. Glory to God. Verse 17. Or if I bring a sword on the land and say, sword, go through the land, I will cut off man and beast from it. Now, I'll give you a reference. I won't take time to it. Go to Leviticus 26 and 25 and back to Zephaniah 1. Now, this really takes place in opening of the seals in Revelation 6. The third seal is the black horse. We have the white horse and we have the red horse. Anybody know what the red horse does in Revelation 6? I'm going to have to come over and teach y'all some Bible. The red horse takes peace from the earth. How much peace do you think is in the world tonight? We're in over 200 conflicts with our own armies and navies right now around the world trying to keep peace. Our Defense Department is down. Our programs of defense is way down. But there's no peace that I know anywhere in the world. Do you? You tell me and I may sell out and move. Where would you go? But the third horse, the black horse, is the sword, the thing that God uses to bring a famine on the earth. And the people in Revelation 6 under the third seal, the man and the lady both are working night and day to make enough money to buy just a quarter meal or food. How many knows that everybody's got to work nowadays to survive? So there's a famine on the earth even today. And it's not just for meat and bread, but it's also for hearing the word of the Lord. Now, in Isaiah, let me read it to you because it'll be a little easier to understand. Isaiah 24. I could quote it to you, but I'd rather read it to you. I start at verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it a waste. Distorts its surface and scatters abroad its head. I'm reading from the New King James Version if you're interested. Verse 2, and it shall be with the people, so with the priest, and with the maid, and so with the mistress, with the buyer, and so with the seller, and with the lender, so with the borrower, and with the creditor, so with the debtor. And the land shall be emptied, entirely emptied, and utterly pondered, and the Lord has spoken this word. Now, this refers us back to Revelation 18. I want to go back to these versions just for a second. They all woke up at the trumpet, but it was too late for half of them. The five foolish went to the five wise and said, give us some oil. And the five wise said, not so, buddy. You go to somebody that sells it, and you buy your own oil. And while they were gone, what happened? Door was closed. Some folks believe everybody's going to be saved. Some folks believe that if you want to save, you'll always be saved. There's all kind of junk out here that's being preached. But I'm telling you, you may be called to be a virgin, but it better get you a vessel full of oil. You better keep the lamps trimmed and the shade. You know, when I was a kid, I had to cleanse that old lantern, that coal oil lamp every night. But anyway, that's another story. But understand that God is not going to manifest Himself and set up a kingdom with no junk. We actually have an old saying, got in by the skin of our teeth. Well, that ain't going to work in God. Verse 5, Isaiah 24. The earth is also defiled under the inhabitants. How many believes the earth is defiled? Ain't nothing wrong with the birds and the bees and the honeysuckle trees. Nothing wrong with the lakes and the mountains. The problem is we people. How many believes that? Now, in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 13, there's another angel comes out and blows a trumpet, and he declares, woe, 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 three woes upon the earth. And I've done a research on them, and I don't want to get into it. But understand that this nation that we loved, and you know, and I'm proud to be American. I got into complicated situation a few years ago, and I come home from our place and somebody had skinned a hog, and I wound up almost going to jail over somebody killing a hog on my own property. Terrible. This world's in a terrible mess. And see, freedom is not free. Understand that your freedom that you're experiencing is not free. Somebody paid a price for it and are still paying a price for it. Excuse me. This prosecuting attorney had me on the stand and degrading me because I'm a preacher. You mean you don't know what's going on in your own property? And I said, well, do you know? No. I said, well, I wasn't here. I can guess, but I don't really know who killed that hog. I don't. I still don't know. Well, he said, Rev, said, I've been a check and said, I can't find out where you ever graduated from high school. Said, was there a reason for that? And I said, yes, sir. Well, would you mind telling the court why you didn't finish school? I said, yes, sir. I was across the pond a fight and a war for freedom and liberty of this nation, so an idiot like you would have the freedom and liberty to ask me these stupid questions. I told him. That old judge kind of grinned. I thought he's going to incarcerate me. But he's making fun of me because I was a preacher. So anyway, somebody paid a price for our freedom. And I'd like to go to Calvary, and I don't have time, but it's finished. I started preaching way back in the early 80s. It's finished. Everything that sin had brought upon mankind, Jesus Christ brought it and abolished it and nailed it to the cross in Colossians 2:14. In 1 Timothy 5:10, he said, and abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. So, understand, while it's a terrible day out here, and maybe y'all don't, I'm sure I'm the oldest guy in here, tell you the truth. You're not as old as I am, I know you. Brother Glenn's just a little bit older than I am. He's 89, I'll be 84. But listen to me. I live without any money. Never did go hungry, but I didn't have nothing. If I wanted some meat, I went and killed a squirrel. Of course, we did eat pigs. That's all we had. But understand the society or the teenagers of today have no idea how they're going to survive. They think the world and you and I owe them something. And because grandma and grandpa's got something, the grandkids think they ought to have it overnight. No, you spend 50 years of hard labor like we have, and you might have something. It works in the spiritual, and it works in the natural. We went through McDonald's and in the Mercedes, and the girl said, boy, that's a beautiful Mercedes. I'd sure like to have one. I said, yeah, when you get as old as I am and as ugly as I am and as got as much money as I got, you can buy you one. Amen? You don't get Mercedes for nothing. I'd better not tell you about Mercedes. I gave nearly a brand new Cadillac away and wound up with 5 Mercedes. But anyway, that's a whole different story. Whew, the earth also is defiled. Because, verse 5 of Isaiah 24. Here's why. Because, listen, because they have transgressed laws. This administration we have has broke every cotton picking law that the Constitution ever stands for. If I wasn't so old, I'd sure become a tea partner, I'll guarantee you. I might anyway. I get honey where she can talk and drive again. I may just join the Tea Partners. Let me tell you something about Sarah Palin. I never heard of this woman in my life. Never. And when she gave her acceptance speech for the nomination for Vice President with McCain, I looked at her and listened to her about 5 minutes. You know what the Holy Ghost said to me? He said she's spirit-filled. And come to find out, she did come out of Assembly of God Church. I don't know how much she's left in her, but she's been spirit-filled. So there's a reason for this woman to be in the position that she's in. It may cause a lot of trouble. Her and Glenn Beck, both, I guess. But anyway, that's another story. You're going to empty the earth. Verse 5, and the earth also is defiled under its inhabitation because they have transgressed the laws. My God, they're not just breaking them, they're taking them plumb off the books. Closing doors and making new ones. Amendments to the Constitution. They've changed the ordinance and broken the everlasting covenant. And here's where we are in America. Right here. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth, and those who dwell in it are desolate. It wouldn't take just a little bit. And you got to be plumb stupid if you don't believe Iran's going to get this stupid bomb. It's already in the make. And if you think Israel's going to let them get it and use it on them, you're crazy again. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Israel is not going to let Iran blow them off the face of the earth. So when they bomb Iran, guess who else is going to be involved with it? Say, United States. You know it, and I know it. So we're in a terrible mess. Y'all ain't a shouting a bit. Aren't you glad I'm tough? I got an alligator hide. But anyhow, under this fourth seal, and I just throw this in here real quick, there's going to be a fourth of mankind destroyed. We have over 6 billion, and 4 into 6 billion, we're going to take away about 2 billion people are going to get killed under the first real neutron bomb attack. Are you ready for 2 billion dead people? Do you think the world's going to go on like it is? Ezekiel said there were so many of them dead that they had to drive a stake up by them, and said there would be permanently employed grave diggers burying the dead. My question, do you want to be a grave digger or a grave filler? Now, grave digging would be a bad occupation. It would be better to be than it would be in a grave. How many believe the sinner is going to be destroyed out of the earth? Now, I'm not just talking about the whoremongers and the idolaters and the dope addicts. And I'm talking about Holy Ghost-filled people that's absolutely sinning and transgression and not obeying God. And I'm telling you, they're just about as bad off as the whoremongers and idolaters. And I'm talking to some of us tonight. See, most Pentecostals, can I say Pentecostals? See, we have a self-righteous spirit because somebody told us, boy, you got it now. You got the Holy Ghost. You're better than all them Baptists. Yeah. But we didn't have it all. We just had an earnest inheritance, the down payment on what we had. But anyway. Oh, help us, Jesus. I'm going to read verse 6 again. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth. How much about devour don't we really know? And those who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned. The last line. A few men left. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision. Only a few people have made up our mind to endure to the end. See, Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, but he that endureth to the end. Now, that word endure is not just not a one-time operation, but that's a continual warfare, 24/7. But this gospel of the kingdom shall be what? Preached or demonstrated, illustrated to all the world, and then the teleos will come. So, few men left. Do you want to be alive and remain? Paul said we're not going to all sleep, 1 Corinthians 15:51. Something else I wanted to read here. What was it? 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 20. It said, come, my people, enter into your chamber. Now you can go home and get a Strong's or a Lexicon or something and digest this. Chamber is your dwelling place or your house. Don't you know your body is the temple, which is naos in the Greek, which is the holiest of holies. God don't live in no outer court. Don't live it. Come on now, I'm dead serious. He don't live in no holy place, basically. He lives in the naos, the holiest of holies. Go with me to Romans 12, right quick, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice. That means living a sacrificial life, right? Overcoming. That you might prove the good and acceptable. I left out, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. Verse 1. Don't be conformed like the world. Don't act like the world. Don't talk like the world. Don't be like the world. Am I blowing your world away tonight, girl? You're better off staying in Kansas, I guess. Don't be conformed or fashioned or molded or act like the world, talk like the world, get sick like the world, get broke like the world. Come on. But be you transformed, metamorpho, change. By what? Renewing your mind. What kind of mind did you have? Paul said, you got the mind of Christ. I got it when He formed me in His image and His likeness. But Adam brought me down. Now, Christ has got to bring me up. Now, to renew the mind is to really renovate it. It's tear it all to pieces, that Greek word, and put it all back together. Now, the reason He wants you to renew your mind is that you might prove the good, say 30-fold. Acceptable, say 60-fold. That's where most all of us live. God puts up with us. Well, they told me, oh, God loves you. Just do the best you can, and God understands. And how many know we just put up most of our kids? How many knows our kids are not perfect? But we put up with them. We accept them like they are. Y'all don't like me. Glenn, you should have never got me in this mess. Good, acceptable, and what's the last one?
Perfect.
Say 100-fold.
100-fold.
100-fold. God is expecting for some good people. One of these days, a few of us is going to do what Jesus done that got Him into trouble. If you've seen me, do you know we're the only species that don't look like and act like and talk like and think like their fathers? I've seen some ducks out here. Do you have any trouble figuring out what a duck is? Quack, 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 quack. If he walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, swims like a duck, what is he? Where did he learn to be a duck? Nobody taught him how to swim. Every species is ingrained in them because Genesis 1 said every seed bears after its own kind except the seed of God. Because we're stubborn and rebellious. We won't offer our body a living sacrifice. But anyway, God is looking for somebody that He done with Israel. Said, there goes my son. He said, of all the families of the earth, you're the only one that I know. Think about that one. Israel was a son in bondage. Whew. Okay, enter in your chamber. That's your dwelling place. And shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment, at least 3.5 years. Until the indignation is past. So the indignation is the terrible day, but it will pass. John saw a new city, a new heaven and a new earth. The old heaven and the old earth has passed away as we know it. But the indignation will pass. Let me get it down on a personal level. How many of y'all are parents? Let me see your hands. Oh, good Lord. How many of you ever just beat the fire out of your kid? But it passed. And I told some folks tonight, you need to beat the hell out of him, Proverbs said, to keep him from going to hell.
That's right.
Is that Bible?
That's right.
But you can't do it nowadays, they'll lock you up.
Right.
So God's indignation is not going to be forever. There's going to be a place called heaven on the earth. New city, New Jerusalem. Talk to me, somebody. A glorious day. Go over and read Revelation 21 and read 22. Read 22 and 20 also. Anyway, no more tears, no more sighing, no more crying, no more dying. Amen? Wouldn't that be nice? But the indignation has got to come and clean the terra firma first. You think God's going to set up a glorious kingdom on this junked up mess that we're involved in? There's never been a kingdom established until first the existing king was demolished and removed and conquered. Then the winning king set up his kingdom. Amen? Now, tell somebody the indignation will pass. Verse 21. For behold, the Lord comes out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and no more cover her slain. I want to read you a couple of things and I'm going to close. I think it's in Leviticus. Let me see. Let's go over to Leviticus real quick. 26, 25, 26, down through 29. I will bring a sword against you, and I will execute the vengeance of the covenant. When you are gathered together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered unto the hand of the enemy. Now, she talked about the last 50-something verses of Deuteronomy 28 this morning, and I don't want to get into them. The first 14 verses is fantastic, but the last 53 is pretty rough. God is going to judge the nations. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 4, in the verse 18, 19, and 20, it talks about the cities are desolate, they're barren, there's not a living beast, there's not a living bird, there's nothing alive. Now, I don't know whether that was a past city, or whether it's a future city. I've got my opinion. You read it and understand it, let me know what you figure out. But God is not going to be defeated. I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. That's Deuteronomy 28 and 21. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women will bake bread in one oven, and you shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Now this fulfills the third horse, the black horse in Revelation 6. Now, understand that God is not going to lose the seed crop. Every seed is going to bear after its own nature. If I have the seed of Christ in me, then that seed eventually is going to produce what it is. Will it not? I had a terrible wreck in the early 60s and broke me, tore me all to pieces, and they put me in a DOA, dead on arrival compartment, and there's a Catholic church, and I'm a Protestant preacher, so they didn't care whether I lived or not, but could give me you Catholics. But anyway, I almost got killed. 5 ribs run through my left lung, lacerated liver, busted scream, and diaphragm. I need a little petty piece of this. Can't even break it off. I was preaching a revival for the White Brothers in Portland, Oregon. And I had a friend in California that I went with him one time to a country doctor because he had thyroid problems and he wanted to lose some weight. So I knew where the doctor was. I didn't have a doctor, still don't have one. Anyway, I had a terrible fever for about a year, so I said, I'm going to just find out what's wrong with me. So he took some blood, and I said, how long will this take? And he said, oh, a couple of weeks, I got to send Sacramento and blah, blah. So I said, that's fine, I'm going to Portland for 2 weeks, and I'll stop and I'll come back by. So when I come back by, I stop, and here I go through the front door, and the nurse are here, and the receptionist, and he come out of his office. I said, what's the verdict, Doc? You know, I'm such a nice, pleasant fella. You're dead. I said, what do you mean I'm dead? There's no man on the face of the earth that got as many cc's of poison in their bloodstream as you got and still alive. You're a walking dead man. I said, something like leukemia? He said, no, it's a lot worse than leukemia. I said, what do you think we ought to do? Well, I'm not going to give you no medicine for two reasons. If I give you something, you won't take it. And if you did take it, it won't do you no good if you did take it. I didn't have many alternatives, did I? I said, well, just What do you think I ought to do? Here's what he told me. If you've got any unfinished business, get it finished. I said, about how much time have I got to finish this unfinished business, Doc? 60 days at the most. So I goes to the top of the mountains of Feather River, a spring in Northern California, and I went up there to die or live. So I'm sitting out on this great big rock and reading my Bible, and nobody in the world knew where I was. I'd locked my billfold in the glove box, so when they found my body, they could find out who I was. See, man's extremities is God's opportunities. I may deal with some of that Sunday morning. All hope ain't gone. So I'm reading, and I picked up a little old verse of Scripture. It says, Christ in you, the hope of doxa, God. And I'm big manzanita bush sitting here. Me, y'all may not know what a manzanita bush, but I had because I'd hunted in that country. I reached over and I broke a twig off of that manzanita bush and brought it over here and laid it on the Bible. Now, this will blow your mind, but it's still all right. Okay? I take a microscope and put on this manzanita limb. I have no idea what it consists of. But whatever it is, you got me? She done figured it out. You take the same instrument and go over to the bush. And guess what the bush is? Whatever the bush is, the vine is. My mind went to John 15 like a bullet. I'm the true vine. And you're what? Tell somebody you're just like God. I mean, it's heresy, but it's Bible. I'm the true vine, and you're the branches. Now, there's three classes of fruit here, good, bad, and better. And I don't want to preach on John 15. But I'm telling you, if a duck can reproduce a duck, ducks can't reproduce geese. Jackrabbits does not reproduce cottontails. You know the difference between a cottontail and a jackrabbit? I know y'all are tired. I'm fixing shit. God's seed in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, cannot and will not ever reproduce except what the seed is. And if you don't let Him reproduce Himself in you, you're going to be a part of that unwise group that didn't go in. Honey, you praying for me? And I will bring a sword against you. Leviticus 25. Pardon me. Yeah, 26:25. And execute vengeance in the covenant. When you gather together within your cities, I will send pestilence among you, and you shall be delivered into the hand of your enemy. And I, and when, not and, when. Everybody say when. That means He's going to do it, right? I have cut the supply of bread. 10 women shall break your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. Now, I wanted to preach from Exodus 23 yesterday morning when a brother was ministering. Exodus 23 is a powerful chapter. There he said he'll bless your bread if you'll obey Him and keep His laws and covenant. Verse 27, after this, after you bake the bread, eat the bread, not satisfied, sharing your bread. And I don't know, most of us are so independent, we're not going to live sharing our food in our houses and with each other. But we may all have to live together before this is over with. After this, so it's going to happen. If you do not obey me, but walk contrary to me, then I also will walk contrary to you with fury. And I will chasten you 7 times for your sin. Verse 29, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons and eat the flesh of your daughters. Now in 2 Kings chapter 6, and I'm going to hurry, I'm going to close. The Caesareans say the moderates, the communists, call them anything you want to do, they have us surrounded. Ain't nothing we can do about it. Now I don't talk about how much money they're going to take and what you're going to... And people like me, they're going to fine me or lock me up and make me buy insurance. Ain't never had none in my life. The Caesareans had surrounded, come on, the city. And it got pretty bad. Two of the ladies got together and said, I'll tell you what, let's eat my son today. We'll cook and boil yours tomorrow. Go home and read 2 Kings chapter 7. Chapter 6, I'm sorry. So they eat the lady's son. And then the next day, they look for the other lady's son, and she'd hit him. And this woman was in despair because she didn't get to eat her neighbor's son. Oh, God, we would never do that. Well, you don't know what you'll do. Just because you're a part of the city, no sign that the devil's... I heard you rebuking him today and tonight too. You see, they hate me. They hate you. They hate this place. They hate this message. And they have one agenda. The situation that our government is in tonight has one agenda, and that's to stamp out Christianity. You're in their sights. Sarah got in trouble about the crosshair. But I tell you, you're in their crosshair. Stalin and Lenin and Hitler, and I don't want to go through all this junk, but I declare unto you, it may get so cotton picking bad that you might consider eating somebody. Ever been over Donner Summit? I've been over Donner Summit many times, and there's a memorial there where they eat their people. Got a Reno over into California. Anyway, it's liable to get sure enough bad. How many knows it's pretty rough right now? Now, I'm still living the good life. Really and sincerely. But I know of lots of people and a lot of friends that's having it pretty rough. Now, we can't take care of all of them, but we can take care of those that's the right mind and the right, got the same principle in life as you've got. You can't, you said something about, who said what? Anyway, I thought, yeah, if you run with dogs, you're going to get fleas. But the prophet of God was on the scene. He said, I'll tell you what, about tomorrow, about this time. He said, there's going to be plenty to eat. They's paying a high price for dung's head. Dung. Ladies eating their babies. Nobody believed him. And the governor and the king leaned on side and said, oh, if God opened up windows in heaven, said that wouldn't be possible. Elisha said, I'll tell you one thing, buddy, you're going to see it with your eyes, but you'll never get to eat of it. How many knows that's the truth? They stomped him to death. But right outside the city gate, there's four lepers. How many knows the story? And this is what I want to leave you with. Why sit here till we die? In him, we live and move and have our being. God bless you. I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.